A home security camera showed a person leaving her house that morning, covered up from head to toe. But a childhood friend and a Facebook sleuth were able to figure out her identity. Her accomplice was even easier to apprehend because he left his blood behind at the crime scene. This is the story of Kimberly Neptune, the Native woman who was left with 484 knife wounds after a visit from her roommate and her quote-unquote best friend. Hi friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here, and hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. It was April 21st, 2022 in Perry, Maine, a tiny town on the border with Canada, home to only about 800 people. And random fun fact, the sort of morbid but also beloved webcomic, the Perry Bible Fellowship, was named after a church there. When Kimberly Neptune's brother came to her apartment that day on Thunder Road, he found her bloody feet sticking out from under a blanket. She was on the bedroom floor, between the bed and a dresser. When he unwrapped her, she had no pulse. A police officer happened to be driving by the apartment, and Kim's brother flagged him down. Authorities immediately ruled her death suspicious. It wasn't exactly a question of whether she had been murdered or not. She had been stabbed and cut almost 500 times. No one had any idea who would do such a thing. But love them or hate them, in these days of doorbell cameras and security cameras, a neighbor was soon able to offer up a clue. A person covered head to toe was seen walking from Kim's house the morning after she was murdered. And the police wanted to talk to them, even just to see if they had seen anything. So they asked the public for help identifying the person. They offered up a $10,000 reward. A woman came forward who said she had known Kaylee Brackett all her life, and she was 100% sure that that was Kaylee in the surveillance video. This woman had seen Kaylee passing out flyers of some sort on April 18th, days before the murder, and she was wearing those exact same clothes at the time. A man also made a collage of photos from Facebook for the police that showed this same Kaylee Brackett dressed in the face mask seen in the neighbor's photos. And I just love this small-town wannabe detective at home making a scrapbook page for the cops. If you're watching this on YouTube, you can see the Facebook photos on top and the surveillance photos on the bottom of the collage. On April 29th, just about a week after the murder, 38-year-old Donnell J. Dana and 38-year-old Kaylee A. Brackett were arrested during a traffic stop and charged with murder.
Starting your news this morning, two people are in jail in connection to the suspected murder of a woman in Washington County. Maine State Police say they arrested Donald Dana and Kaylee Brackett, both from the town of Perry, on counts of murder. This after 43-year-old Kimberly Neptune was found dead in her apartment on Thunder Road in Perry last week. Authorities arrested Dana and Brackett during a traffic stop. They're being held in Washington County Jail. Now, a passerby shared this video with News Center Maine. It shows a police search, apparently related to the investigation. Another viewer sent us this video, apparently showing the traffic stop arrest. Now, court appearances for Dana and Brackett have not yet been scheduled. Police say this investigation is ongoing.
Donnell and Kaylee had a son together, but weren't currently in a relationship. He was known as Skin on the streets, I guess. And she called herself NativePrincess.GlamBabe on TikTok. Donnell had once lived with the now-deceased Kim, but said he couldn't recall if they were ever romantically involved. He said he had slept on the couch while they were roommates. He had only moved out the year before she was murdered. Police asked Donnell why his blood was found on the stairwell of her home. At first, he said he must have left it there when he lived there. But then he also said that Kim cleaned her house every day. She was so meticulous. So how would his blood still be there months after he moved out? And his blood was conveniently right by the bloody footprints that had been left behind on Kim's stairway carpet after the murder. What a coincidence. Donnell also had scratch marks all over his body, on his chest and legs and ear, which seemed suspicious. He said they had nothing to do with Kim, but he couldn't exactly remember where he was on April 21st. He takes multiple seizure medications and said that clouds his memory. He first said he was at the hospital with his family when Kim died. Later, he decided he'd been at his mom's house all night. As he left the police interview, he punched the wall and said he didn't kill Kim. But his blood was in her house, and the mother of his child looked awfully suspicious, too. People told the police that Kaylee had been talking around town about how she was missing some money, and Kim must have stolen it from her. Several people inside the Perry Farmers Union store heard Kaylee say Kim would regret it just a day or two before the murder. They said she was talking to anyone who would listen. Kaylee said she planned to get revenge by having Donnell help her steal 300 Xanax pills and cash from Kim's house. And she said she had a way in because she and Kim were supposedly seeing each other. A witness said Kaylee called Kim up on April 20th and said she wanted to come over for the night. She had a babysitter for her son and everything. But when Kaylee showed up, she had Donnell in tow. Kim, of course, didn't like that, a man ruining their date, and an argument ensued. Donnell attacked Kim. Meanwhile, Kaylee ran inside to steal from her. Donnell dragged Kim upstairs and beat her face with a club he'd brought. The witness said that when Kaylee retold this story, she said she stabbed Kim 5 times and made sure to aim for major organs. She said she also stabbed Kim when Kim was already dead. She said Kim put up a good fight. I guess that's why they had to stab her 484 times overall in the neck, head, stomach, and legs. Donnell told the witness that it was a fight that got out of control. He said they just planned a robbery, but that he went overboard by accident. Maybe because he was jealous of the relationship Kaylee and Kim had. Apparently, Donnell and Kaylee had been drinking and doing drugs before they came to Kim's house, so they tried to clean up the scene afterward and basically failed. They really only managed to roll the body up in a blanket so they didn't have to look at it. They did remember to take the club Donnell used to beat Kim, though. And because Kaylee had the passwords to Kim's social media accounts, she deleted everything. They also stole Kim's home security camera, although they didn't know the footage from it was stored in the cloud. Blood was everywhere when the police arrived. Kim's clothes were described as saturated with it. Kimberly Alice Neptune was 43 years old at the time of her death. She was a member of the Passamaquoddy Native American tribe, and her chief said her loss was felt throughout the community. Her family called her a loving daughter and sister and said she cherished time with them. Her friends said she was always willing to help them.
They stabbed her 484 times. Like, and that's not okay.
When folks speak about Kimberly Neptune, they say she was kind, full of joy, and always willing to lend a hand.
She'd help out anyone that needed help, you know, like, she was always volunteering within the community.
Kim graduated from Calais High School in 1997 and went on to the University of Maine. She worked as a housekeeper and loved outdoor activities like riding her ATV and fishing. Her obituary said that she was known for her big heart, gentle soul, kindness, and beautiful smile. Her family called her their turtle because she did everything with grace and as if she had all of the time in the world. She was in the local newspaper in 2018 for 2 counts of unlawful drug possession and 1 count of operating under the influence, so she must have struggled with drugs for a while. Donnell had bought Xanax from her before, so he and Kaylee knew she would have some at her house. Still, they both pleaded not guilty and were going to trial. In August 2023, Kaylee was in court to gain access to her cell phone, which had been seized from her after her arrest. She said crucial evidence on her phone would prove her innocence and asked the court to return it to her. Prosecutors said they would totally allow an IT expert at the state crime lab to make a mirror image of its contents for her if she would just give them her password. She refused to do that, but said data on the phone would support her alibi. Her alibi was that she had dropped her son off at Donnell's mom's house and wasn't at the crime scene. Now, I'm curious how you feel about the idea that accused murderers apparently don't have to unlock their phones for authorities. I didn't know that. Kaylee's lawyer said it was her constitutional right not to incriminate herself. He asked that the phone be given to her in a sealed envelope. He said a phone expert working for him would be recorded opening the envelope, producing a mirror image, and sealing the envelope again without altering the data on the phone. And the court agreed that the defense should be able to do this, so that was definitely going to come up at trial. And so was the testimony of a forensic podiatrist who would serve as the expert on the bloody footprints found in the stairway carpet in Kim's home. The court ordered that Kaylee and Donnell had to provide the state photos of their feet at all angles, standing and sitting, barefoot and in socks. Usually you have to pay for that sort of thing on OnlyFans. But this forensic podiatrist said that he was moderately sure that Kaylee had left the bloody footprints on Kim's carpet and Donnell didn't. The two went to trial in December 2023. The state's deputy chief medical examiner showed the jury the almost 500 stab wounds found on Kim's body, which News Center Maine called gruesome. He said she died from blood loss, mostly because the carotid artery in her neck was severed. He believed that Kim fought back, which would be consistent with the scratch marks the police found on Donnell. Kim's brother testified that after Kim was killed, he got a Facebook message from Kaylee that said Kim had done a big drug deal and might have been killed by someone involved in that. So she was trying to point him in the direction of someone else to suspect. He said they had never really communicated before, but now Kaylee was weirdly messaging him often enough that he took notice. He also recognized that a four-wheeler trail on the res led right from Kaylee's house to Kim's. How convenient. As the trial continued, a state police detective testified about retrieving Kim's home security camera footage from the cloud. He said there was a person outside her home at 12:19 a.m. on April 21st, but he unfortunately couldn't tell who it was. Kim's neighbor testified about the video she gave to the police of the person walking away from Kim's house hours after the murder. And a neighbor of Kaylee's testified about seeing Donnell, Kaylee, and their son loading trash bags into Kaylee's car after Kim was killed. She said she doesn't know what was in the bags, though. The prosecution showed surveillance video of Kaylee withdrawing money from Kim's accounts at two different banks after she was dead. The cell phone that Kaylee fought so hard to get access to in court didn't really amount to much in the end. Because their area of Maine is so small and doesn't need a lot of cell towers, Kim's and Kaylee's phones often connected to the same towers, so it wasn't weird that they were both pinging the same tower on the day Kim died. They were definitely in the same general area that day, but that doesn't mean Kaylee was with Kim, nor that she wasn't. Donnell's phone wasn't in service for a month before the murder, nor on the day of the murder, so it wasn't helpful at all. After 3 weeks of testimony and 3 days of deliberating, the jury couldn't reach a verdict on Donnell. A mistrial was declared. But he must not have felt too confident about his chances at a second trial after that. He took a plea deal a few weeks later. His murder charge was completely dismissed when he pleaded guilty to one count of hindering apprehension. That will become nothing but a misdemeanor if he stays out of trouble and goes to drug counseling for a year. He was released from jail in January 2024. Kaylee Brackett, meanwhile, was convicted of murder with depraved indifference to the value of human life. She was to have a sentencing hearing on February 26, 2024, but before that could happen, her lawyer requested a new trial. Her defense says there's evidence that someone else committed the crime. Apparently, there's a knife that Kaylee says is a potential murder weapon supporting an alternative suspect theory. Her lawyer also says that a Brady violation occurred in regard to the knife. And if you don't know what a Brady disclosure is, the name comes from a 1963 U.S. Supreme Court case, Brady v. Maryland. The result of it was basically that prosecutors can't withhold evidence that might help a defendant's case. You might remember that Brady violations were cited in 2022 when Adnan Syed, made famous by the Serial podcast, had his murder conviction vacated. The judge who freed Syed said that the authorities had notes on a potential alternative suspect that were never shared with his defense counsel. So that could have helped his case, and that's a Brady violation. So in this case, the case of Kaylee Brackett, she's saying that there's this knife that may show that someone else committed the murder, and I'm guessing that its existence wasn't mentioned to Kaylee's counsel. Although there were three knives submitted into evidence at the trial, and those were tested for DNA. One of them had stains on it, but none of them could be confirmed positive for human blood. So we'll see if Kaylee's allowed to have a new trial based on this in the coming months. Either way, my feeling is that she's probably guilty. I know you can't always trust eyewitnesses, but there were a lot of eyewitnesses in this case who said the same thing. One of them said that Kaylee bragged at the post office after the murder that she had just gotten 300 Xanax and a couple thousand dollars cash, which is a lot of spot-on detail to be made up. And I also think that Donnell did it because he ran into three different people on April 27th and told them that he did it. He said he murdered Kim with Kaylee, and he just wanted to be taken in and charged to get it over with. He said that Kim's soul was haunting him. Now, Donnell's attorney said his DNA wasn't under Kim's fingernails, so no one can prove that he fought with her, and that since Kim was involved in selling drugs, the crime was probably drug-related. And I partly agree with that. It was drug-related, in that Donnell and Kaylee wanted to steal drugs. But I also think that it was partly fueled by jealousy. Donnell told the police at one point that Kaylee was the love of his life. They had a kid together. And yet they weren't in a relationship because she was seeing Kim. And that's all the more reason he might go overboard during a robbery and kill Kim. It's just so interesting to me that Donnell was the one they let off the hook with what could be downgraded to a misdemeanor if he stays out of trouble for only a year. The jury convicted Kaylee without any DNA evidence, and yet Donnell's blood was on the stairs and the wall. I wonder if the jury was just more convinced by the sheer amount of witnesses speaking out against Kaylee, and of course, that surveillance footage. If Kaylee is in fact guilty, it makes me just livid that she posted on Facebook the day after Kim's death that her bestie of over 20 years had been taken from her. Her last posts are rants about people on the res spreading lies about her involvement. She implies that she is clearly innocent because she voluntarily let the cops search her home. I honestly don't know how people live with themselves, gaslighting their friends and family like that. But I love seeing that Kim's brother holds an annual cornhole tournament in her honor at their tribe's yearly celebration of their arts and culture. He posts photos of her all of the time and keeps her memory alive. I'm hopeful that he'll at least partly get a little justice for Kim when Kaylee's case concludes. Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.